And so the Bible does give us some very objective things that we can do. And so this morning really is going to be sort of a practical message. I hope they all are to some extent, but that, you know, we want our lives to please the Lord. And, you know, our character matters, doesn't it? I heard someone a few weeks back, they were one of the guys I listened to, he was talking about a sign that he saw in this classroom. And the sign was like for these younger students, you know, maybe, what do you call the lowest grade? The lower group. Yeah. Elementary. I thought there was one below that. Primary school. And so it was a sign in one of the primary school classrooms, and it said, "The world is a better place because you're in it." And this guy I was listening to was taking issue with that. And quite honestly, I do too, because that's not necessarily true, is it? I mean, you could probably sit there and think real quickly of people that the world would be a better place if they just weren't here. And so it, just because you being here don't make this a better place, does it? Because it matters how we live our life. It matters what we do, right? It matters what we're spreading around. It matters, our actions matter. And so, there's sometimes that, at work, there'll be a question or something we're trying to figure out. And if we can't figure it out, I'll just write in TBD. Anybody knows what that means? To be determined. And a lot of times when young people, I think maybe that sign we better, the world may be a better place with you in it. TBD. It's to be determined. I hate acronyms, but anyway, I'm eat up with them at work. I get emails and all this stuff with all these acronyms in it, and half the time I don't know what they mean. And so I got to go look them up. And so I tell them at work, I just hate an acronym. Just go ahead and tell me what it is. Don't shorten it until I know what it is, right? Well, TBD is to be determined. And so rather or not, you know, how our lives are going to impact others, it's going to be based on our actions. It's going to be based on our character. It's going to be based on what we do, and how we pray that God will use us. And so, you know, I do like, you know, I've got a couple things in mind for this coming year, and I try to set them reasonably, you know. I want to try to get, you know, I don't want to set them too high to where I can't get to them, but I don't want to set them too low to where this didn't make much of an impact in my life. So, you know, whatever it might be you're planning for the year, maybe you want to improve how you're eating, or you want to exercise more, or you want to travel more, or read more, or whatever it might be. And I've kind of tried to cover, a lot of those, you know. I'd like to maybe drop a few pounds, and I'm setting that goal where it can be attained, right? I'm not training for the Olympics. And then I'd like to, you know, be a little bit impactful. I just like to bend over and be able to tie my shoes. I mean, that's a reasonable thing, isn't it? And so I'm kind of putting it there in the middle somewhere. I've got some guys that I work with. They've already started their New Year's, and they're taking proteins and supplements and all this stuff. And I've been down that road before. I know what that looks like. You never keep it. 2 weeks in, you're back to, you know, when the third, we've got Thursday at work where they have the Wandering Donut. And so that the Wandering Donut wanders into Madison Heights where we work. And somebody, one of us, is going to buy a dozen of those donuts, and there it's going to be. And I'm going to resist it for the first week and hopefully the second as well. But for too long, you know, you start that Wandering Donut wanders its way onto my desk, and then there it is again. But whatever it might be that you're looking for, I do think it's good to have a time of self-examination. The scripture teaches that over and over. I've just got one verse here I was looking at here this week, and I know once I start reading it, it's going to be familiar to you. It's in 2 Corinthians 13. And it's the Apostle Paul, of course, writing verse number 5. He says, "Examine yourselves. Put yourself to the test. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate." Now, I don't typically like to let verses stand to themselves, but I think even if we got through and begin to lay out the background for this verse, there seems to definitely be something going on with the Corinthian church. If you read the chapter here and even the book before this one that they received from the Apostle Paul, There were some things that were going on. There were some things at stake. And so Paul was challenging each one to examine themselves. Look at yourselves. Step back and see whether you're in the faith or not. See where you are in your walk with the Lord. David says that many times throughout his Psalms when he tells the Lord, he says, Lord, search me. Lord, see if there's any wicked thing in me. That's a good prayer, isn't it? God, look into my heart. Lord, where can I grow? Every one of us sitting here this morning can have growth in our life. None of us would probably say, if I asked you, you would say, yeah, there's definitely areas in my life where I want to see growth. Well, let's plan for some growth. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. How can we, in the body of Christ, plan for growth? You've got to do that. I mean, there's some things that the Scripture has given for us. And Apostle Paul says first here, he says, examine yourself. Test yourself. It's the same word that's used when it talks about how that Christ was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. It's the same word there, where he's been tested. He was put to the test. And so here the Apostle Paul isn't telling us to go into the wilderness somewhere and have a face-to-face against Satan. He's just simply telling us to examine ourselves. Put ourselves to the test. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. So now this word here is going just a little bit deeper. It's to the point where not just looking back and testing ourselves, but now we're to put this thing into action. The word prove there means to almost like you would test a metal to see what type of metal it was or whether there be any impurities to that metal. And in order to do that, most often you have to add what? Heat. You know what heat is? Heat is a trier. Heat is something that puts us to the test. And so this word prove here, we have the first one examined, but now he says prove your own selves. Or test your faith in the fires of affliction. Now, he's not telling you to go out and find some mess and get into and just see if your faith holds up. What he is saying is, be sure that the faith that you're walking in will work when it's put to action, or will get you through when there's something that you've got to go through. I mean, there's a lot of people whose faith isn't strong enough to get them through anything. I mean, but the faith that we're talking about in the Word of God is a faith that will cause us to endure in times of affliction. Now, I throw that word endure out there this morning, but because for some reason, every now and again at nighttime, I'll preach a message in my dream that is just a really good message. I mean, it preaches. And, sometimes I remember them. Well, I woke up this morning, I preached a message last night on endurance, and buddy, I wish I could preach it again to y'all this morning because it was so good, but I only remember one word from it, and it was this: endure. And so I woke up this morning with that word endurance on my mind. And I do remember this much of it, that one part of that message was this, that endurance, well, it speaks of something that we're under, right? So when I'm talking about endurance this morning, we're talking about being under something. Or we're talking about a load that we've got to endure. Now, that's not a great word, is it? Now, if that is the word God's given us for 2023, wow. That he's encouraging us and reminding us that sometimes in our walk with God, there's some endurance. Even there's some times that we've got a load upon us that we would love to see removed. We'd like to be like Christ prayed there in the garden. Lord, I would that this cup would be removed from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. There's no place in Scripture where God has promised us that we won't have some endurance. That, matter of fact, the very opposite of that has been true throughout Scripture, isn't it? That he's told us there's some things that we're going to have to go through. Now, we love those verses, and I do too. I quote them. You know, when we start talking about, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have to prosper you and to bring you about an expected end. And so I love that verse. But you know, when I go back and look at that in the context and I see from where it was written, I was like, wow, that was given to Jeremiah. Yeah, God had some plans for him, but you know what? A dung pit wasn't out of the question, was it? We don't like to think about that. Yeah, now, we know that in the end, we win. We know that we hold on to our faith. We hold on in spite of affliction. And when the heat is turned up and our faith is really put to the test, true faith can endure. Amen. Why? Because our faith is one in one that cannot fail. So this morning our faith isn't, I'm not telling you to put your faith in yourself and your ability to get through the thing. I'm telling you to put your faith in the one that said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you always. And so that's where our faith is, and that's where our trust is this morning. And so that word prove, it's like if someone comes to you and says, I want you to prove this axe out for me. Prove it for me. It's not that you're going to set that axe up against the wall and look at it and say, well, I think that thing will cut down a tree. Now that's an examination. We're examining it. We're looking at it. Yeah, I think it's going to pass the test. I think it'll cut down a tree. But when we prove it is when we pick up that axe and we begin to swing it against that tree and we see if that tree will come down. And that's the difference between examining something and proving something. And so this morning when Apostle Paul is reminding us here in this scripture to examine ourselves, amen, that's what we want to do today. We want to look at ourselves. We want to step back here as we go into 2023 and as individuals we examine our heart, we examine ourselves. And then as a body this morning, as a church of Jesus Christ, we want to look at ourselves and say, Lord, we want to grow this year. And we're going to plan for growth. And I'm not necessarily talking about in numbers, which that would be fine. That would be great, actually. I'm talking about more as individuals in our walk with the Lord and our closeness with God and our sensitivity to the Spirit of God and our love toward one another and in our fellowship. God, we want that to grow. See, the Apostle Paul, in his writings, look over, if you will, into 1 Thessalonians, as he was once again instructing the church there, and he was giving them some information, giving them some insight. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look what he says here in verse number 1. He says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. He says, I've made it very clear. This is how you ought to walk. This is how you ought to live your life to please God. You've received that of us. So ye would abound more and more. He says, I don't not only want you to continue doing what you're doing and walking as you're walking, I want you to abound more and more. Abound how? For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Amen. You want to pray for God's will for your life in 2023? Well, here it is right here. Even your sanctification. Even your purity. Even your holiness. As we sang that song this morning, I didn't tell Shell to put that on the worship list this morning, but there it was as we began to sing, holiness. It's what I long for. Righteousness, it's what I need. God, let me walk in purity. Lord, let me walk in sanctification. Let me abound more and more or in a greater degree in 2023 than I did in 2022. God, let me, as I step back and I look at myself and I examine myself and I prove myself, God, let me not see one that served you fervently 5, 10, 15 years ago, and now I'm just barely squeaking by. But let me see one this morning that's drawing closer to thee. Lord, that's having a heart more for you in a greater degree. He says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, we're definitely achievement-oriented, aren't we? We want to see results. I've said before, I like to listen to a couple of talk show host or whatever you'd call them. I don't know what exactly they'd be, but I like to listen to, and for some reason, most of them are Jews, and one in particular I like to listen to, that Dennis Prager, I'll just say his name, you guys probably know who he is, and I like to listen to him, and he was saying something this past week about our character or who we are. And he made this comment, he said, and this is, you know, coming from a Jew, he says, it's more important what we do than what we think. Now, to a certain extent, I agree with that, because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things I think that I don't say. It's probably to my benefit. There's a lot of things I think I would like to do that I don't do. And I think maybe wisdom gets the better part of me there, because there are some things. But yet, in Scripture, when we come into this new and living way, that God has promised us not just the strength to not do or to not say, but I read in His Word where He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Now, a heart is sort of, you know, we think about the heart, and that's the center of our emotions or our thoughts, you know, or our minds. You think about, matter of fact, He says, I'll give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you a new mind. And so when I was thinking about what Dennis Prager was saying, I was like, now, I agree with you. There's a lot of things we think that we don't do, and that's important. If I did everything I thought, I'd probably be in trouble. But yet my prayer this morning is, God, cleanse me from the inside out. Lord, purify my mind. Lord, give me that new heart so that I'm driven not by just holding back what I really want to do or really want to say, but Lord, that I'm walking pleasing in Your sight to the point where, like those Pharisees, that they went about and they didn't commit adultery, but yet they lusted in their own hearts. They didn't kill a man, but they hated a man. And so to me, it's that's what Christ came and said, listen, I'm going to change your heart, and I'm going to change your mind. And I'm going to put in a clean heart. I'm going to put in a right spirit. So it seems that there's a certain sense where God is more concerned with what we are rather than what we do. Because what we are will eventually come out into what we do. And so that's our prayer, Lord. God, help us to be real this morning, that we are developing a Christian character. And so, as Paul says, this is the will of God for you. If you want to know what the will of God is, even your sanctification, even your purity, even your holiness this morning. And so that's in how we see. Now, I'm not really going to settle into a particular passage this morning, so we're sort of bouncing around, and we're going to do that. But look over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, because if you're familiar with Paul's writings to Timothy, you know as we get into chapter 4 that we're getting toward the end of his ministry, when he's going to make that great declaration here in chapter number 4, begin with verse number 6, when he says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Or that's a sacrificial word. I'm ready to be poured out upon the sacrifice. Just as the Old Testament sacrifices, there was often times when a drink offering was offered alongside of that animal sacrifice, whether it be a lamb or a bullock or whatever it might have been. There was times when a drink offering was commanded along with that. And so Paul says here, he says, now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure at hand. So somehow Paul understood that his day was coming, days were coming to a close. And so he makes this great declaration. And he says, because his desire was for those that would succeed him, that they would continue on with the same fervency or the same energy or the same zeal or the same power that he had in his ministry. So here he's preparing Timothy and others that were there. He says, listen, he wanted this ministry to continue on past him. He knew his end was near, that the time of his departure was at hand. But then here's what he says. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, I finished. I finished my course. I finished what God has given me. The word course there, as Apostle Paul often did, was an athletic term in a sense of he'd finished his race, the race that was set before him. He had run this race. He was getting now to the end of his days, and he's looking back through, and he goes, I've finished what the Lord has given me to do. He says, I fought a good fight. I have finished. As he got near to the goal line, he wasn't about to let up. For some reason, I remember when I was a young kid and I played football, and I remember one of my football coaches, for some reason he would tell me, I can remember a couple times I'd be running the ball. I played on the quarterback of the rec league team, and I remember running the ball a few times, and I'd get close to that goal line, and I allow myself to get tackled. And I can remember one time the coach came to me and said, Grimsley, when you get that close to the goal line, he says, you got to smell that. And I remembered this now. He said, you got to smell it to the point where if you're that close, you got to get across the line. And so I've sort of thought about that all my life. I was like, you know what? And I now when I watch a football game, and I'm watching whether it be college or NFL, and I watch them, and I see them get close to that line, they get tackled at the one-yard line, I think, well, they got to smell that goal line. Well, the Apostle Paul says, I smell the goal line. I'm right there at the end, and I'm not about to let up. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to finish this race that has been set before me. He says, for I am now ready to be offered up. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So I've got across the goal line. Man, I'm going to finish this race that has been set before me. I guess maybe it might be based on a conversation I had with a family member not long ago. And in this conversation, they were sharing with me some regrets that they had in their life. And so I've just been thinking a lot about that over the last few weeks. And I was like, Lord, God, I don't want to have so many regrets. Man, there's a whole lot of people that live with a lot of regrets. Now, we can't really go back and fix those things, can we? There's not much we can do about that. I mean, every one of us in here this morning can probably sit here and think about some regrets that we have in our life. But you know what we can do? From this day forward, amen, it is our desire, Lord, to walk in your will, Lord, to walk in obedience to your word, and God, and put you first in our life, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is our desire this morning. And so the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm ready, he says. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, along with this passage over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's go over into the book of Acts and let's look again at the Apostle Paul. And this time we're finding him in his words to the Ephesian elders as he's about to leave them, and we come here often just because I love this great diatribe that he gives to these elders. It is just so encouraging and also so heartfelt, really, when you read the words that he spoke to them. But look what he says there as he's reminding the Ephesian elders that he's going to Jerusalem, and the Spirit of the Lord has made known to him that afflictions await him there. That there's been many times it's even prophecies that's given throughout the book of Acts that where someone would come up and give the Apostle Paul a prophecy about the bonds that waited for him. And so he's making them aware that the Spirit has witnessed in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me or they wait for me there in Jerusalem. Look what he says, verse 24. But none of these things move me. None of these things are going to get me off of my course. That's my prayer for each of us here this morning in 2023, that whatever afflictions that we have to endure, and there will be affliction, that we are able to continue the course. Man, that we don't allow things to get us off our course that God has given us. Man, there's a lot at stake here, isn't it? Man, that's why the Apostle Paul, when he was talking about it to be examined himself, when he tells us to try ourselves, it's because, number one, the interests that are at stake. First, it's our life. And even beyond us, the example that we are setting for the next generation. I'm sure my parents would probably testify of the same thing, that they were fearful of the next generation. Well, I'm there too. I look ahead and I see what our young people are going to have to deal with. And it can cause anxiety and fear to set in. But then I'm reminded where Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the powers of hell cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've said this quote many times, and I love it just because it reminds me of the power of the body of Christ and in the family of God, that the church is the only one that buries its pallbearers. Amen? That the church of Jesus Christ will go on, even in spite of all the Gallup polls that we read about so many percentages that are dropping out of the church every year and all that we see. It can become discouraging, but the fact is God's church will continue. Amen? Now, what's ahead, we don't know, but we do know there's the interests that are at stake. And then also, secondly, because we're all so liable to deceive ourselves. Amen? We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're walking in faith. And we haven't took the time to examine ourselves or to prove ourselves, as the Apostle Paul has instructed us to do here. And so, just as there in Corinth, they too had been deceived. Let's be on our guard this morning and forward, as we hope, I hope that we have been, even till now, that we not be deceived. There's many times in my time of quiet time or in reflection, whether I'm reading a devotional, as Corder shared with us this morning, or in prayer, that I just think, Lord, how am I being impacted by the spirit of our age? How am I allowing the spirit of the world to impact me? Because truly, this world is not a friend of God. And it's not a friend to the church. And it's becoming more and more obvious. There's things that, you know, we may have been able to enjoy years ago that now you just got to close it off because it's gone so far into corruption, I guess, maybe is the word. But yet, in our times of examination, Father, how am I being impacted? But the Apostle Paul, when he knew that all this stuff was ahead of him, he says, none of these things are going to move me off my course. None of these things are going to move me. None of these move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, regardless of what I've got to go through, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish the race that's been set before me. Now, the one thing we've seen over the last 3 years, I guess, is more than anything today, safety is primary. Safety at all costs. Just be safe, right? Be safe. Make sure you got your mask on. People have been staying at home for years now. I was shocked. I heard some people talking about this Christmas was the first time they'd seen some of their family in 2.5 years. I'm like, what? 2.5 years? You haven't been anywhere for 2.5 years? I'd go crazy. But yet, you know, I heard one writer say it this way. He said, we've decided we'd rather be safe than free. I'm afraid that might be true. But our liberty and freedom, true freedom, isn't found in what's done on Capitol Hill. We don't come under bondage this morning. Paul says, none of these things move me off my course. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. That's our prayer this morning. God, let us finish our course with joy. And Lord, let us get to the end of our days and not lay there and think about all the regrets we might have had, all the things we should have done or could have done. But Lord, let us finish our course with joy. And we will not finish that course with joy if all we do is just consider our own safety, consider our own needs, our own wants, our own desires. We've got to begin to look outside of ourselves. man, and begin to look at the needs of others and let God use us to reach out to other people. He says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, what is this ministry, Paul? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's course, Paul's mission, Paul's race, Paul's purpose was to bear witness to the good news of the favor of God. And I would submit to you this morning that's no different than what our course is as well, to some extent, some level. We're each called to declare this gospel. That's why we use the term evangelical, because we're all called to be ready to give an answer when asked of the hope that is within us. Amen? Every one of us, preacher, not preacher, teacher, not teacher, we're all called to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what sets the evangelicals apart. Because we believe that every one of us is part of this ministry. Yeah. So here he says, I'm ready. None of these things are going to get me off my course. I'm ready to testify the gospel, the grace of God. So we learn that we all have a duty to perform, right? First and foremost, we understand that we all have a duty. And secondly, that we should not be deterred by danger or fear. Repeatedly, they kept coming to the Apostle Paul and says, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. It's bonds there. It's affliction. Even here, weeping, the Ephesians have gathered together, the elders, and they're falling on each other's shoulders. Even the Apostle Paul in tears as they part for probably the last time. He'll never lay eyes on them again. And Apostle Paul even knows that after his departing, there were going to be those that were going to come in, wolves that were going to come in. And but yet he says, listen, in spite of the danger, I cannot be deterred from my course. I've got to endure this morning. He says, I'm going to finish my course with joy. I love that. God, let us finish our course with joy. Lord, that we live our lives so that when we get to the end of our course, we may get to the end with joy and not regrets. This course, he says, that I have received of the Lord Jesus. I love that. I have received it of the Lord Jesus. That God had ordered his circumstances. God had set his direction. He had received this of the Lord. He hadn't set his own goals. He hadn't set his own direction. He'd received it from the Lord. And he understood that God will order the circumstances of his departure, and he will sustain him, give him strength till the end of his journey. Who was it in the Old Testament scripture that says that as his days were, so was his strength? Wow, isn't that a great testimony to have? Man. Look what he says over in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to wrap it up here. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, he says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Says we have this ministry, this gospel ministry. We have received mercy. Ministry that he had received by the mere mercies and favor of God. Entrusted to him. Paul said in one place there that what he was by the grace of God. No arrogance, no presumptuousness, nothing. Just knowing that God had placed him in this ministry. Probably part of that was he looking back at his life as he did with Timothy and talked about how that he was once a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. But how did he finish that? But I obtained mercy. Amen. We are what we are this morning because of the mercies of God, aren't we? We obtain mercy. Maybe you don't fall into the category of the Apostle Paul. Most of us do not, to the extent of how he persecuted the church. Yet every one of us here this morning in some level were rebellious. We were rebelling against God, but we received mercy. We received favor from God, His divine mercy. He says, we faint not. Not going to lose heart. Not going to become weak. Not going to become frail. By the mercies of God, he was not going to be disheartened by the difficulties and the trials that he was going to have to face, because he had received mercy. He told the Galatian church there in Galatians 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So we have these ministries. We have our course set before us. We want to see that growth in our life. How do we do that? Well, you know, I hear many preachers talking about the means of grace, or the means of grace that God has given to the church, so that that we can fulfill the purpose in our life. And of course, one of those is His wonderful Word. How many thank for the Word of God? Amen. David said there, he says, Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we've got this means of grace right here this morning. How can we see growth in our life? Well, first off, we open the Word. Don't neglect the Word of God. And don't neglect the Scripture. This is the greatest book that was ever written, isn't it? Amen. Greatest book ever given to man. You want to be amazed sometime, just open up the book of simply Proverbs, the wisdom literature, and just begin to read through the wisdom literature. And before long, you figure out those little one-liners you have there in Proverbs. It's pretty much, if you could just remember Proverbs, you'd be ready for every situation that comes your way, wouldn't you? Just because sometimes I'll be reading through them, I was like, oh yeah, I seen that last week. I experienced that. Boy, I wish I'd have had that line. That'd have been a good way to, good response right there. Why? Because the wisdom of God's Word. I mean, and so we've got this means of grace in His Word. We study His Word. We hide His Word in our heart. And of course, we've got prayer. I mean, let's not neglect prayer. Prayer was not given to us as something to be guilty about. It was given to us as a means of grace. Given to us so that we might, as was Jesus there in Luke when he was getting ready to tell the parable about the unjust judge and the widow that went to him on numerous occasions. He said what? He said, he told this parable that man, so that man ought to pray and not faint. Pray and not lose heart. So we've got that means of grace, the means of grace of prayer. That our spiritual growth will be greatly, radically hindered if we neglect prayer. I'll say that to our young people especially. Don't neglect the Word of God. Don't neglect our prayer life. Well, because it's so important. Of course, worship, the gathering together here this morning as we've done that, don't neglect that. It's important, isn't it? In our growth, we need the body of Christ. We need the world is full of wolves in sheep's clothing. We pray that the church is full of sheep in sheep's clothing. Amen. That we have those that are great examples of what it means to be a believer. One last place, look over in Hebrews, as the Apostle Paul was given instruction there and about the gathering together and not forsaking that gathering together. Look in chapter 10, verse number 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. Let me read down through here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I've read that this week, and for some reason these four commands just stuck out in my mind. They just came out as commands. I've never seen them like this before. And so it's first this one. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. It's in a sense, if you'll back up and read the first part of this chapter, of how that the high priest would go into the holy place, man, but with not without the shedding of blood. But now that we have a high priest, that we have a sacrifice, that we can with full assurance draw nigh unto God if we come through the door, right? Which is Christ. So he says, let us draw near with a true heart. So that first command was this, draw near. Draw near with a true heart. Every form of religion that God has given to man has always required a true, sincere heart. Even back in the Old Testament scripture, when we read that first covenant that was given, I mean, many times they were condemned. Many times God spoke against them and brought judgment because they came to God and they went through the actions and they went through the motions, but they did it with a heart that was far from him. And because of that, God would judge them for it. And so we this morning here were commanded, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I love that. Unwavering confidence. In what? Your ability to do good? I didn't hear a single amen. Why? Because our confidence isn't in that. Where is our confidence placed this morning? Our confidence is faith placed in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we can put our confidence that His blood was sufficient. That we are saved to the uttermost. What the old timers used to say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. We have salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And really, that's got to be the bedrock of our work. It's got to be the bedrock of where we, when we're striving, when we're looking and we're growing and we're seeking that growth in our life in this coming year. First, it's got to start with that full assurance. Where is our confidence placed? It's not going to be in your actions. It's not going to be in your goodness, but it's placed in Jesus Christ. Even the one that came and paid the price that you and I might have life. So it says, first, he says, draw near. That's the first command, in full assurance. Secondly, he says, hold fast. Hold fast what? The profession of our faith. Hold fast the truth of the gospel. Hold fast in what we professed however many years ago it was. Now, there's a lot of preachers that I listen to, and they'll play down that experience. They sort of kind of do down, you know, it's not in something that happened 20 years ago. Well, I beg to differ. Because I'll be honest with you. I go back to that 20 years ago, well, longer than that now, but however long ago it was. I go back to that a lot of times. I think about that first week often in my walk with the Lord. I can remember those times of prayer. I can remember, you know, the Lord bringing me out. You know, almost like being, as was it James talked about, as being pulled out of a fire. How that God just lifted us out of that fire. I go back to that a lot. And I say, thank you, Lord God, for that time, that day. And now, that's not the end of the thing, right? We go on. We want to grow. We want to mature in the Lord. But I've got no problem at all when we look back at what God has done for us and remember the pit from which we were dug and how that God has set us our feet upon. But let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And so once again, we're talking about endurance, right? Once again, we're talking about staying under pressure, being tried in fire. Once again, the Hebrew church clearly was going through a trial. I mean, they read Hebrews 11 as it goes on here and even in the chapter 4. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us hold fast. Amen? And so there it is again. And so it seems clear that there was some type of trial. And he says, listen, don't waver. I know you're under a load. I know you're under a hardship. Don't waver. Hold fast your profession of your faith. Why? Because he's faithful that promised. He's faithful. God's faithful. Amen? We can stand upon his word. We can stand upon his promises. He has promised the strength for the journey. He has promised us he'd always be there. Hold fast to that. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I know. I don't. But let me tell you, hold on to your faith. I mean, hold fast to that profession of faith, because God is faithful. That promise. And so there's a, let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider. There's the third one. Consider what? Consider one another. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to consider, look inside and find ourselves, right? Don't let that be your New Year's resolution for 2020. 2023, I'm going to find myself. What does that even mean? Find yourself. Give me a break. I almost did this to y'all this morning, but I spared you. I was going past the last couple weeks, and I've got some people on Facebook that post these awful sayings about, you know, how you just got to whatever. I mean, you've seen them. They're awful. And so I started screenshotting them, and I was going to share them with you. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to put y'all through that. You know, why? Because it was all just silly stuff, just stuff that means nothing. And I'm like, I know God, you're going to have this year. You have no idea what I'm going to have this year. You have no idea what I might be up against. I don't have any idea. 2023 is going to be the greatest. It could be the worst possible year that I've had in my life. So that's depressing. Well, I know, but it could be. You have no clue. I remember back in 2020, I was going to start off. I had a message, 2020 vision in 2020. Well, nobody saw that coming. Now, I would look like a fool. I didn't preach it, but I sure thought it. Thank God for sparing me that one. That would have been on the internet. I'd have to be able to take that one down. 2020 vision in 2020. Yeah, right. And why? Because we can't see the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we can have confidence in the one that's gotten us through here. He is faithful that promised. And God will be with us, and God will give us strength. It may be hard, and there may be some endurance. There's a reason he woke me up last night and said, endure. I don't want to endure, Lord. Take it off. Remove it. My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. That's scripture. Right? All right, so we got that. Consider. Consider what? Consider one another. To provoke one another into good love and to good works. Don't try to drive each other crazy. Don't see how far you can push someone. Don't see how bad you can irritate someone. You want to grow in the Lord? You want some growth in your life? Well, let me submit this to you right now. See who in the body of Christ you can provoke to love and to good works. And not just aggravation. Right? Love and good works. So there it is. Consider, and then here's the last one. Not forsaking. So there's four commands. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider. Not forsaking. Forsaking what? The assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean? Well, there's some debate for this text. And you can go back and forth and see the Greek and this, that, and the other. A lot of times when someone says, let's do a Greek study, it's because they're trying to get around something. But the fact is, it's a gathering together. It's a gathering together. I say that from someone that likes to look at the Greek. But anyway, it's just that means it's a gathering of people together. It's used in a lot of different ways in Scripture, whether you look at the Greek or whatever you want to look at. But it just simply means coming together. I mean, don't forsake the coming together. Why? Because we're here for one another. God has put us into a family. I mean, we are in the body of Christ, and we just, you know, every now and again when we are away from each other for a short period of time, I miss you guys, right? And I hope it's, you know, return, but it's just why? Because we're a family. When you don't see each other, you feel like you're missing your family, right? And so here we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So there's our command. I'm going to stop there this morning as we close here today, but there we have it. We're looking ahead for the year. We want to see growth in our life. We're going to plan for growth. And in order to do that, there's some things that the Scripture has given us, some very practical things that the Scripture has given to us to do and to commit ourselves to. We find it even from the very beginning of the church there in the first few chapters of Acts. what they were committed to and what they put as primary in their walk with the Lord. And they just didn't step back and say, well, okay, Lord, here I am. Let me grow. Bring growth. Doesn't happen that way, does it? We commit ourselves to it. We seek after. Draw nigh unto God, he said, and I'll draw nigh unto you. I mean, that's the promise of God's word. And he's faithful who promised, right? Man, so as we look ahead and we set our goals, and I would tell you to do that. The scripture has given us some very clear direction that we can use and see growth in our life. That's our desire. Amen. What Paul tell his church, he says, I would that your soul, you prosper even as your soul prospers, right? You want to see good things in their life, but most of all, he says, I want your soul to prosper. And that's really the sign that we're getting the good food that we need. We're getting the nourishment that we need from the Word of God is if we see growth. It seems like even when Paul was using that examination and the proving there, that one thing he was trying to do was there were those that were questioning his ministry. And saying, well, he ain't called, his words are weak. He said, listen, examine yourselves, prove your own selves. Why? Because he's like, the Word of God will bring growth in our life if we not just be hearers of it, but doers of the Word. All right? Well, let's stop there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your Word today. Thank you for the 2023, Lord, as you brought us here and on this first day of 2023, and God, we first off look back at the past year, and we thank you, Lord, for your protection. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for each one, Lord, that in this body, and God, for keeping us. And Lord, we've been through some things as individuals. Just think about some of the things that some of the folks here at the church have faced, and it hasn't been easy, but God, you've called us to endure. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not only told us to endure, God, but you've promised that you would be there and that we could cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we thank you for that. And God, as we look ahead, well, we don't know what the next year holds. God, we know that we are in your hands. God, we know that you are in control of every situation. And God, that your eye is on the sparrow and you see it when it falls. And God, we are so much more than they. We are your child. We are your children this morning. Thank you for that. We rest in you. Our confidence is in you. Lord, let us hold fast our profession of faith. No matter what we have to endure, no matter what we face this coming year, let's hold on to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and declare it to our world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.